This is Molly Smith introducing our annual Bringing America Back to Life speaker series. At this annual event, we invite those on the front lines of the pro-life and family movement to come together for a convention dedicated to exploring the full spectrum of issues and challenges that confront us as we continue to fight for the sanctity of human life, to protect our God-given family structure. We trust you will be edified and encouraged as you listen to our fine roster of speakers who by their articulate, thoughtful, expert presentations eloquently defend the right to life. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you Michael Hitchborn, founder and president of the Lepanto Institute. Michael is a well-known public figure in the pro-life movement who spent 7.5 years as American Life League's director of Defend the Faith Project. In this capacity, Michael has researched and produced an annual report on organizations receiving grant money from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. This annual report exposing dozens of grantees that are promoting abortion, birth control, homosexuality, and Marxism led to a nationwide review of the CCHD and a tightening of its guidelines. Michael has also conducted research on Catholic hospital systems that are involved in the performance of abortions and sterilizations. He wrote a detailed report on abortion and contraceptive providing organizations receiving money from the Catholic Relief Services and produced a detailed report on Obamacare and its a danger to women, preborn babies, and the elderly. His topic is the unholy alliance of charities and the culture of death.
You know, after hearing John Henry and John Smeaton talk this morning and this afternoon, I'm not entirely sure how to follow that up. But I'll do my best. I want to start by reading to you chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes. If you do good, know for whom you are doing it, and your kindness will have its effect. Do good to the righteous, and reward will be yours, if not for them, from the Lord. No good comes to those who give comfort to the wicked, nor is it an act of mercy that they do. Give to the good, but refuse the sinner. Refresh the downtrodden, but give nothing to the proud. No arms for combat should you give them, lest they use these against you. Twofold for evil you will obtain for every good deed you do for them. For God also hates sinners and takes vengeance on evildoers. In prosperity, we cannot know our friends. In adversity, an enemy will not remain concealed. When one is successful, even an enemy is friendly, but in adversity, even a friend disappears. Never trust your enemies, for their wickedness is like the corrosion in bronze. Even though they act deferentially and peaceably toward you, take care to be on your guard against them. Treat them as those who reveal secrets, and be certain that in the end there will still be envy. Do not let them stand near you, lest they push you aside and take your place. Do not let them sit at your right hand, or they will demand your seat. And in the end, you will appreciate my advice when you groan with regret, as I warned. Who pities a snake charmer when he is bitten, or anyone who goes near a wild beast? So it is with the companion of the proud, who is involved in their sins. While you stand firm, they make no move. But if you slip, they cannot hold back. With their lips, enemies speak sweetly. But in their hearts, they scheme to plunge you into the abyss. Though enemies have tears in their eyes, given the chance, they will never have enough blood. If evil comes upon you, you will find them at hand, pretending to help. They will trip you up. Then they will shake their heads and clasp their hands and hiss repeatedly and show their true faces. Chapter 12 from Ecclesiasticus. What we're going to discuss this afternoon are organizations that are trusting, standing with, working with, giving alms to, and promoting the culture of death. All of these organizations that you're about to see and many others too numerous to mention here, are organizations that I have personally investigated and exposed for promoting contraception, sterilization, abortion, and sexual perversion. As I go through this list, you may recognize one or two: the Agricultural Cooperative Development International, or ACDI-VOCA, up there in the corner, Adventist Development Relief Agency, or ADRA, AFRICARE, CARE International, Oxfam, Child Fund, Land O'Lakes, Elizabeth Glasser Pediatric AIDS Foundation, Catholic Relief Services, International Medical Corps, Plan International, Helen Keller Foundation, Save the Children, World Vision, Mercy Corps, Catholic Medical Mission Board, Interchurch Medical Assistance, Medical Care Development International. The list is huge. These are just a few. Now, Molly only gave me an hour to talk, and given much of the information that there is, I'm sure you're going to have questions. When I worked on this presentation, I wound up creating over 200 slides. And when I did the math on the number of slides and the allotted time allowed for opening questions and things like that, it came to one slide about every 10 seconds. So that would be like throwing water on the car where it makes a big splash, but most of the water winds up on the ground. So rather than go through all of these organizations in great detail, what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about why this is such a problem for us. And then I'm going to focus on the details of a few of these organizations as time permits. And when time runs out, well, then we'll close with questions. So why is this a problem? The answer is very simple. These organizations are all very well-funded, well-connected, and enjoy a very good reputation. And they're cutting the legs out of everything that all of you in this room and everything that I and everybody else that's been working for the culture of life have been trying to do. I'm assuming that most people here live in Ohio, so I'm sure that you know what it's like when your car gets stuck in the snow. It doesn't matter how good your tires are or how much gas you have or how strong your engine is. As long as your tires are sitting on a pile of snow and ice, your car isn't going anywhere. These organizations that I just listed and many others, they are the snow and ice, and the car is the pro-life movement. As long as they are trying to move, or the snow is under the ground, the pro-life movement isn't going anywhere. If we're going to move forward, we have to correct the problem that we're seeing with these organizations. These organizations, they all partner with each other, including them on the government grants that they get. For instance, Catholic Relief Services gets a grant from USAID. Then they will pick up several organizations to join them for their work and their projects as sub-partners. So CRS will get the grant, and then they'll ask CARE, World Vision, and let's say Mercy Corps to help implement a particular project. USAID then hands CRS a check, and CRS then cuts a check to CARE, World Vision, Mercy Corps, and then they get to work on whatever the project is. And since Catholic Relief Services included them on the grant, when any of them comes up for a grant, well, then they'll turn back to CRS and ask them to join them on their projects. So it's a little bit of everybody scratching each other's backs. And because they're all NGOs working together on the same projects, they tend to share the same personnel. It's a revolving door. Someone who works at Catholic Relief Services might work there for 10 years and then move on to Mercy Corps. Or somebody working at Population Services International for 15 years, promoting abortion and contraception, might get hired by Catholic Relief Services. You see, the more these organizations feed at the same troughs, and the more the personnel that they share, the more they begin to resemble each other. And while organizations like Catholic Relief Services might claim that they never distribute and promote contraception, it's not true, by the way, the fact remains that the organizations they work with most certainly do. And Catholic Relief Services is introducing these organizations to the people on the ground who trust them. So when CRS leaves and these organizations remain, the poor people are left exposed to the wolves who wish to contracept and abort them out of existence. That's why the struggle against abortion and contraception throughout the developing world is so tough. Not only are pro-life organizations not getting the support from international Christian agencies that they should be getting, but through their collaborations, they are actually complicit in the fight against the pro-life movement. Let's look at some of these examples. We'll start with Catholic Relief Services. Since we don't have time to give an exhaustive presentation on all of these organizations, I'll give a brief overview of some of the most egregious cases. Last year, I conducted a seven-month investigation of Catholic Relief Services participating in a project in the Democratic Republic of the Congo called Project Access. From 2006 to 2010, CRS was an implementing partner in the project, which means that they weren't in charge of the project, but they helped implement the program as it was handed to them. And the lead on that particular project was IMA World Health, Interchurch Medical Assistance World Health. All of the information that I found came from official reports on the project and even from CRS's own medical coordinator. Here's what I found. This is an inventory report. Over there in the lower corner, you can see quantity received by CRS. Then you can see directly above it, distributed to HZs, that's health zones. And over on the right, you can see Depo Provera, 38,000 units. Lofeminol, which is an oral contraceptive, 27,000 units. Overet, an oral contraceptive, 38,000 units. DUI, that's the French acronym for intrauterine device, 600 units. Male and female condoms, almost 500,000. This is from only the second year. By the end of the project, Catholic Relief Services had distributed 2.25 million units of contraception. That's CRS. Oh, and by the way, I happen to also discover that CRS distributed surgical sterilization kits as well. In this case, in case there was any doubt about CRS's involvement in the distribution of these contraceptives, because after I revealed this report, CRS's excuse was, well, we can see how it seems like we did that. I mean, the reports are accurate, but we didn't do the distributing. That's what they said. So in case there was any doubt about CRS's involvement in the distribution of these contraceptives, CRS's own medical coordinator explained in a video interview, and this is a screen capture from the video interview, you can see that he's wearing a USAID and CRS polo shirt. The first component of the project, as he explained it, included family planning. And right there, it says family planning. That was part of the translation underneath the subtitle as he was speaking. He was talking about, you know, what the project does. It does this and this and this. Oh, and includes family planning. As if it was just a natural thing to say. And later on, he did an interview with USAID for its newsletter, and he spoke of the success of Project Access. Here's what he said. This is a direct quote. Hospital deliveries improve maternal and infant health. Figures for access to prenatal care, assisted deliveries, and use of contraceptives all show improvement over the last year. So we can see that by family planning, he actually means modern contraceptives. But let's suppose, just for the sake of argument for a moment, that CRS's participation in the family planning aspect of Project Access was only NFP. Page 8 of the Project Access report, final report, explains how natural family planning was being used as a stepping stone for introducing women to contraception. Here's what it says. Moreover, the inclusion of MAMA, which and MAO, both of which are NFP programs, in both counseling and reporting serve to introduce the important concept of family planning and to integrate reproductive health care services at the facility level. Nearly every woman is counseled on mama postpartum, and then at her six-month visit, when she is given more options of other methods of family planning, a normal step from natural to modern methods. So natural family planning in this context, which CRS admitted it was implementing, is being used as a stepping stone. But you know what? CRS wasn't ignorant of this intention. At the very outset of the project, IMA World Health created a document explaining the components of Project Access. Component A, number one on the very first page of the project outline, which is quite literally the very first thing that they say about the project, the title is Child Spacing and Reproductive Health. Here's what it says. Activities will focus on, one, increase contraceptive security, two, promote and provide a mix of contraceptive methods, including natural and modern, three, promote birth spacing rather than limiting births as an entry point for service delivery, four, ensure that all outreach messages incorporate and involve men, five, explore partnering and or collaborating more comprehensively with UNFPA in the provision of family planning services, especially in hard-to-reach areas affected by conflict. Six, provide appropriate screening for and treatment referral of sexually transmitted infections. Seven, provide synergies with HIV/AIDS programming, such as incorporating family planning services into PMTCT and VCT programs. Eight, promote community-based activities that include messages for parents about birth spacing and behavior change. That was the project outline at the very beginning. As I said, there is no way CRS didn't know that this project intended to spread contraception at the very beginning when it agreed to join it. Given the stated intention to incorporate contraception into literally every aspect of the entire project, CRS may as well have partnered up with Planned Parenthood. Now listen, there is a whole lot more to this project than just what I showed you. A whole lot more. In fact, the report that I wrote on it was 56 pages long. And CRS had been caught in situations very similar to this over the last 10 years. I could spend 4 hours talking about CRS alone, but I think that this suffices to make the point. Let's talk about a few other agencies. Next up is the Adventist Development Relief Agency, or ADRA for short. In 2015, ADRA joined Catholics for Choice and Planned Parenthood in signing a letter to Congress asking for $1 billion to be allocated to contraception programs for international development assistance programs. By the way, ADRA and all of these other organizations that I'm going to be telling you about are all receiving grant money through CRS. In a 2013 article by the Guttmacher Institute, the research arm of Planned Parenthood, ADRA is identified specifically as a faith-based organization that works to expand access to contraception. The article illustrates how this belief is put into practice by spotlighting ADRA's contraception-promoting programs in India. And it says, quote, ADRA partnered with the Nepal Red Cross Society and other stakeholders to improve maternal and child health by reducing mystemized, unwanted, and high-risk pregnancies through increased use of modern contraceptives. In a 2008 handbook produced by an organization called FHI 360, explained ADRA's part in the distribution of injectable contraception in Madagascar. Page 38 of the handbook explains how ADRA helped contraception distributors get started and how it made sure that the village chief was made aware of his new ability to provide Depo-Provera, which is an injectable contraceptive. In a 2004 issue of the Emergency Contraception Network's newsletter, ADRA was identified for its part in pushing emergency contraception in Armenia. According to ECN, ADRA carried out a 4-month awareness-raising campaign on emergency contraception, conducting conducted a one-day EC seminar for 31 healthcare providers, translated into Armenian, and printed 2,000 copies of an EC brochure. It then developed and printed 500 flyers on emergency contraception, supplied government-run health clinics with 162 boxes of injectable contraception and distributed, or emergency contraception, and distributed to women free of charge. Let's talk about Africare. In Africare's 2014 annual report, Africare indicates that one of its programs in Liberia reached nearly 4,000 individuals with the promotion of contraception through what it called contraception campaign days. In 2009, Africare produced a slideshow presentation titled Family Planning as a Basic Life-Saving Skill. Lessons from Africare's program in rural Liberia. According to Africare's clinic data provided on slide 6 of the presentation, Africare is providing abortifacient contraception in the form of pills, injectables, and condoms. Much of the rest of the presentation complains that it is difficult to convince women in Africa to accept the insertion of an intrauterine device, and so, on slide 15, Africare recommended that they supplement with community mobilization, especially to increase demand of long-acting contraception. In Africare's 2012 annual report, page 33 indicates that it distributed 16,260 condoms during mass sensitization sessions in Sierra Leone. Let's talk about CARE. CARE International. You ever heard of CARE packages? That's this group. Started after World War II. Actually had a very laudable and noble work, helping and aiding people that were, you know, suffering from war-torn Europe. Well, it's come a long way. On its website is a posting from 2012 listing 10 tips for world leaders attending the World Summit on Family Planning. On this top 10 list, CARE calls for universal access to contraception, calls contraception a human right, advocates for oral contraception and IUDs, and requests that contraception should be included in disaster relief. That same year, CARE published a document titled Addressing Unmet Need for Family Planning in Developing Countries, The Case for IUDs. I think it speaks for itself. In 2011, CARE launched a program called Supporting Access to Family Planning and Post-Abortion Care in Emergencies, SAFPAC. Stated objective number 5 of the SAFPAC initiative is to increase the number of new users of modern contraceptive methods. Objective 7 is to increase the proportion of PAC clients and who accept a modern method of family planning. And objective 8 is to increase the proportion of PAC clients who accept a modern family planning method and who are provided a long-acting method. Long-acting methods. This includes sterilization. It's the implantable Norplant, Depo-Provera, that kind of thing. In a statement on International Women's Day, CARE stated that its reproductive health programs, which provide contraceptives, are as vital as saving lives as vaccines, antibiotics, or obstetric care. In 2012, CARE produced a document titled Learning, Sharing, Adapting Innovations in Modern Health Programming, wherein it outlined its distribution of various forms of contraception. Describing its project in Uzazi Bora in the Democratic Republic of Congo, CARE's document states, quote, all health facilities in Kosongo offered short-term methods, male, female condoms, or contraceptives, injectables, and as needed referrals for the 4 facilities that offered long-term permanent methods, implants, tubal ligation, vasectomy, emergency contraception was also available. CARE's 2010 document, Maternal Mortality, a solvable problem, explains CARE's family planning programs in Sierra Leone. It also mentions that CARE has partnered with Marie Stopes International, the main competitor to Planned Parenthood. Page 4 of Maternal Mortality decries the lack of access to contraception, points out how its partnership with Marie Stopes International is working to increase contraceptive use. It says, at CARE's partner, Marie Stopes International, half of the delegation learns about social marketing program to increase contraception use and travels to an outreach clinic where women receive family planning services. That can also include abortion. In 2007, the president of CARE International called on Congress to repeal the Mexico City policy. In 2008, CARE published a book or a toolkit for its program called Inner Spaces, Outer Faces Initiative. And the toolkit contains a series of games and exercises intended to educate on all aspects of sexuality, including contraception, fornication, and homosexuality. Page 11 of the toolkit provides a definition of sexuality which is directly opposed to Christian teaching and outlines sexual rights that include contraception, homosexuality, and eroticism. Page 19 provides instructions for a word association game related to sexuality. The intent is to break down taboos and facilitate discussions on the words produced. Some of the suggested words and phrases in the toolkit include abortion, masturbation, pornography, lesbian, gay, anal sex. This is for kids, by the way. Page 40 explains that homosexuality is nothing but a preference, and it's healthy. Child Fund. One would think an organization with a name like Child Fund would be fine. You know, we all want to help children. According to a 2011 document co-authored by USAID, FHI 360, Progress in Family Planning, and Child Fund International, Child Fund approached FHI 360 to ask about collaborating on a project to start distributing injectable contraception called Depo-Provera. Now, Child Fund, why would they want to prevent children? It's like Johnson & Johnson, you know, Johnson & Johnson promoting contraception. I mean, they're cutting off their clientele. I don't understand this. In 2013, Child Fund Australia, an affiliate of the international organization, published a policy book regarding its HIV and AIDS programs. On page 8 of this policy book, it has a list of key actions indicating things that Child Fund Australia in its country office program staff will do. Included on the list, it is promote easy and appropriate access to condoms. On page 21 of this handbook is a key action which states country office program personnel will promote easy and appropriate access to condoms and then suggested several ways of accomplishing this. Consistently and correctly encourage people to use condoms when they're needed. Providing information on where people can buy and obtain free condoms. Sourcing and distributing condoms where no one else and the resources are scarce. I mean, the list goes on. It's really strange to me to think about how an organization like this, as I said, which is working to help children, is going to be marketing contraception. Because if you're talking about children, we're talking about people, you know, kids under the age of 10 that aren't engaging in this kind of behavior. So why are they marketing contraception? I'll tell you the reason. It's because they're getting government money. On page 38, Child Fund's policy guide gives a promotion of Planned Parenthood's largest abortion competitor, Marie Stopes International, indicating that it provides a full range of contraception and performs safe abortions. Child Fund. In India, Child Fund boasts that through its program called the Link Workers Scheme, 25 million condoms have been distributed through 3,000 condom outlets, outreach, and social marketing. Enough of them. Elizabeth Glasser Pediatric AIDS Foundation Again, another organization directed to kids or about kids. In 2013, Elizabeth Glasser published a progress report regarding its HIV-fighting project in Kenya, clearly indicating that it distributed 400,000 condoms. That was one of its accomplishments in 1 year. On page 20 of this 2014 annual report for a project in Tanzania, Elizabeth Glasser outlined how it integrates family planning services into other programs. According to the report, over 11,000 women were instructed in the use of contraception through Elizabeth Glasser's efforts. On page 22 of this 2012 issue of Elizabeth Glasser's publication, it says that the strengthening TB and HIV response in Southwest Uganda, STAR is the acronym for that program, through that program, Elizabeth Glasser partnered with Marie Stopes. There we go again. They're partnering with Marie Stopes to provide family planning outreach services. What do you think that means? One of the goals of this project was to increase utilization of family planning services to 80% of all women living with HIV and their partners through integration of HIV and family planning services. So we're not talking about using condoms just to prevent the spread of HIV and AIDS. We're talking about using contraception to prevent children from being conceived, and that's how they're going to stop the spread of HIV and AIDS to children. In 2013, Elizabeth Glasser's senior director of the country management and support, Dr. Stephen Lee, took a 3-day tour of Planned Parenthood facilities in New York. This Facebook post by Planned Parenthood of New York explains that Dr. Lee was given a tour of the facilities because he gave a presentation sponsored by Planned Parenthood of the Northern Country in New York. In 2009, the Elizabeth Glasser organization actually celebrated the repeal of the Mexico City policy. These people don't care. They don't care. They're ideologically linked to the culture of death. It's not about children. They keep saying that it is, but it isn't. Another organization, Mercy Corps. In a technical support unit on gender, Mercy Corps outlined its promotion of contraception in the Central African Republic. In its description of its gender-based programming there, Mercy Corps states that through its work, 1,600 women, men, young adults will increase their knowledge of contraception and family planning services. I have a little anecdote here about Mercy Corps. About 4 months ago, I don't know if you know who Mark Shea is. He's a convert to the Catholic faith. He wrote a couple of books. Kind of a blowhard on social media. He used to write for the National Catholic Register, I believe. He was on his blog page, Pathos, and he was promoting Mercy Corps and saying that people should support them. And I said, and I just posted a very cordial statement in the comment section. I said, you really don't want to do that. Mercy Corps is promoting contraception. And I gave him a link to my article on Mercy Corps. So then he said, well, okay, so how about this organization? He put out another one. I can't remember what it was. And I said, well, no, they're also promoting contraception. And he blocked me. They don't want to hear it. In September of 2015, Mercy Corps published a document titled Improving Child and Maternal Health, Why Adolescent Girl Programs Matter. The document focuses on Mercy Corps' contraception promoting programs in Niger, especially those targeting teen girls. The three Mercy Corps programs discussed in this section are Safe Space, which is SS, Safe Space Plus Livelihood, which is SS plus L, and Saki. Discussing the results of these programs, Mercy Corps says, quote, findings show that girls in the SS and SS plus L programs viewing contraception as an acceptable option. So they're telling teenage girls that they should be using contraception, and they're showing an increase in girls accepting that. A little lower on the same page, Mercy Corps says of its programs that, quote, Findings suggest that Sauki is promoting major shifts in girls' beliefs about contraception. When compared to girls not in the program, girls in the SS program are 83.5% less likely to view contraception as a concern of only a woman, while also 71.9% less likely to link contraception to promiscuity, indicating that contraception is viewed as a valid option. What is most despicable about this line of Mercy Corps' work is that it directly views children not as gifts, but as burdens upon society. Niger has one of the highest fertility rates at 7.6 children per family. Yet, instead of viewing this as a good thing, Mercy Corps is using its contraception-promoting programs to reduce the fertility rate of Niger. That's a stated goal. Oxfam. Some of you may have heard about Oxfam because the Archbishop of St. Louis decided that they were no longer going to have a relationship with the Girl Scouts because of the Girl Scouts being so intimately connected with Oxfam. Here's why. In 1998, Oxfam published volume 2 of its official handbook for relief and development. The inside cover of volume 1, originally published in 1995, says, quote, "The handbook is the expression of Oxfam's fundamental principles that all people have the right to an equitable share of the world's resources," sounds like communism, and the right to make decisions about their own development. Wonder what that means. On page 744, Oxfam says the following about abortion, quote, "Abortion is not a contraceptive method. However, it is an important backup in the case of contraceptive failure. From the public health perspective, making abortion available, safe, and legal is a significant way of decreasing maternal mortality and improving women's health. Performed under adequate and hygienic conditions, it is a safe and straightforward procedure. But where it is illegal, it is often performed in unhygienic conditions by unskilled people." As an example of this philosophy identified in Oxfam's handbook, a program of Oxfam India called Improved Maternal Health was aimed at increasing access to and awareness of safe abortion clinics, as well as a host of other contraceptive methods. This annual survey from 2014 gives statistics regarding the number of women Oxfam led to abortion clinics. After indicating on the first page that one of the key objectives of the project is to increase, quote, "access to safe abortion services and reporting of the same institutionally," page 7 of the survey shows that from 2012 to 2014, Oxfam had significantly increased women's access to abortion facilities from 1,096 to 12,149. CRS is giving them money. In a June 2012 media briefing on the G8 and G20 summits, Oxfam indicated what it believed must be done regarding sexual and reproductive health rights. Included in this section is increased access to safe abortion and making available the widest possible choice of contraception. In 2008, Oxfam published a 34-page briefing paper titled "Failing Women Withholding Protection, 15 Years of Making the Female Condom Accessible." The title kind of speaks for itself. Plan International. Many of you probably haven't heard of this one, but it's actually a very prominent international aid agency. Capitalizing on the Zika virus scare, Plan International's website actually established a donation page whereby a donor's gift is $250 is assured to be spent on pushing contraception and contraception counseling on young women. Plan International actively promotes the use of contraception and has increased the use of contraception in Guinea from a low 6% to a whopping 76%. According to page 16 of Plan's 2009 annual report, it says that due to its work to promote contraception, the number of people choosing contraception has grown from 7,474 in 2006 to 13,916 in 2009. Plan trained local groups to continue this work. That is a standard in just about every area where these organizations work. The thing is, they don't want to just implement a program and do it and leave. They want to implement a program that's going to be continued on. So they train all these people to continue on the project after they're gone. According to Plan's 2012 annual review, it set up reproductive health services in Cambodia where it trained caregivers to provide contraception. In an article titled Improving Children's Well-Being Through Family Planning, Plan explains how it is working with partners to improve the well-being of children, by educating parents on family planning and sexual and reproductive health. Plan says that mothers are provided with free family planning methods and contraceptives. Right. Plan's annual review for 2012 says that Plan instructed thousands of people in Peru on the use of condoms and sexual and reproductive rights. Here's another one. And remember, it's all about the children, right? Ever heard of Save the Children? On its website and under the heading, What We Do, Save the Children says the following about its adolescent and reproductive health program. Save the Children has integrated family planning programming capacity with its long-term programming for young people to ensure its key is sustained in our work. Save the Children focuses on clinic and community-based strategies to increase access to contraception for unmarried as well as married boys and girls. So not only are they promoting contraception, they're promoting promiscuity as well. Isn't that wonderful? According to a report produced by the Tulane University School of Public Health, Save the Children is dispensing all forms of contraception and even providing vasectomies and tubal ligations in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Through a project funded from 2006 to 2009, Save the Children produced a book titled My First Baby, Guide for Adolescent Girls. A large portion of the book is about the importance of using contraception and choosing which method is best for each individual girl, representing Save the Children's strong push for contraception among young teen girls is this chart found on page 61, explaining all the different contraceptive methods available to her and even indicating which are the most effective and which are the least effective. In 2012, Save the Children was actually able to convince the government of Guinea to change its community-based service guidelines to allow community health workers to provide injectable contraception. According to their report on this policy change, Save the Children explains it this way. Prior to 2011, distribution of injectable contraception by CHWs, that's clinical health workers, was not permitted in Guinea. Based on results from CRS's demonstration program in September of 2012, the community-based services guidelines were revised by the Ministry of Health to allow CHWs to provide injectable contraception. In 2012, Save the Children wrote a 40-page report claiming that pregnancy is dangerous and artificial contraception saves children's lives. Page 35 of Save the Children's report on how family planning saves children lives explains how they work to increase contraceptive use among couples. In Uganda, Save the Children oversaw the distribution of condoms and oral contraceptives and referrals for injectable contraception. They also trained reproductive health workers on how to provide injectable contraception as well. According to this case study produced by USAID and Save the Children, quote, in Uganda, DMPA, which is Depo-Provera, accounts for more than 40% of the contraceptive method mix. And in the rural district of, CBD workers had already been providing free condoms, oral contraceptive pills, and referrals for Depo-Provera under the supervision of Save the Children. In a 2008 document by Save the Children titled Integrating Innovative Family Planning Strategies into an Adolescent Reproductive and Sexual Health Program in Malawi, Save the Children explains how it is spreading contraception among young people in Malawi. On page 3, Save the Children says, quote, Save the Children worked with a large network of youth clubs in Mangachi, the Mangachi district, to recruit and train 45 young community-based distribution agents, YCBDAS. Those groups provided information on contraceptives and prevention of STIs, that's sexually transmitted infections, including HIV and AIDS, and offer condoms and oral contraceptive pills to interested clients. So they're recruiting young people to do their dirty work. Last group, Catholic Medical Mission Board. I just did a report on this. It made the news about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. This is Bruce Wilkerson. He's the current CEO of Catholic Medical Mission Board, and he looks rather smug, doesn't he? He was hired in 2012. But while he was employed at World Vision, World Vision's another group that is absolutely rotten, we don't have time to get into it, he gave an interview to an online publication called The Other Journal, and he said, yeah, it is. He was talking about the discussion of condoms. He said, yeah, it is. There is too much insistence on talking about condoms. And it is such a social hot point here in North America. Let me tell you, there are women in Africa who need to be protected by a condom. And are you going to tell me that condoms are not to be used? That's absolutely nonsense. This is the head of a Catholic organization now. And he says that condoms must be used. Well, he followed through. From 2010 to 2014, Catholic Medical Mission Board received federal funds to run a program in South Sudan called ANISA. The grant description found on a government database website makes it very clear that the distribution of condoms was included in the program. The overview portion of the database says that through Catholic Medical Mission Board's ANISA program, peer educators will be used to provide prevention methods, messages, and support for condom outlets will continue. Under the heading, Funding for Prevention, HIV Testing and Counseling, each site is expected to have counselors trained in promoting consistent and correct use of condoms. In the project narrative for 2012, the database website says that a basic care package will be provided for the project, and the package includes condoms. What's particularly interesting is that Catholic Medical Mission Board's sub-partner that is distributing the condoms is Bruce Wilkerson's former employer, World Vision. In 2011, USAID produced a report titled Formative Assessment of Most At-Risk Populations in South Sudan. On page 24, USAID clearly stated that Catholic Medical Mission Board's role in the distribution of condoms in South Sudan. Quote, Yamibo was an exception in that 5 out of 7 sex workers, SWs, interviewed said that antiretroviral treatment and testing could be obtained at Yamibo Hospital, and that free condoms were available at the Catholic Medical Mission Board clinic. So what I've shown you is just the tip of the iceberg. There are dozens and dozens of organizations like these that I've researched and many more that I haven't. And while there are some that are promoting the culture of death, the likely chance is that they are also not receiving government funding and foundation money. The sad fact of the matter is that what should be the corporal works of charity has become a big industry. The CEOs of these corporations are pulling in $500,000 a year plus to help the poor. And I hate to say it, but the majority of those in this industry have a mindset that the best way to fight poverty is to eliminate children. As Fulton Sheen called it, it's the problem of too many heads and not enough hats. And that's the situation we're facing. As I finish this up, I keep thinking about Catholic Relief Services because it's the organization that I've researched the most. I've actually met with the leadership of CRS, and I've gone over this information with them. I've shown them what these organizations that they're partnering with and funding are actually doing. And I've talked about the fact that by partnering with them, you're giving them a clean face. You're helping them to look good in front of the people that they're serving. And then when you leave, these organizations, like ravenous wolves, are going to be eating the people that you helped. Do you really think that you can save bellies and starve souls? They didn't have much of an answer other than to say, well, we have to participate with them because that's the way international development works. And I said, no, it's not how it works, but that's how you get government money. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. The only way that we're going to actually turn this on its head is to go back to the mission model and say that if you're going to help the poor, become the poor. Go into the community, serve them humbly, and stop taking government money. And look at that, I stopped with 36 seconds left.
I just wish you had some passion. So you kind of got into it at the end with the government money, but the question is the why behind the what. We certainly know a lot of the what, and there's a couple follow-up questions there, and we don't really have time for all of them. So it will be available on our website afterward because he will be interviewed extensively. But it is the why has this mass promotion of contraception happened? If you have a succinct why behind the what, is there anything beyond government money? I wanted to open that up.
You know, it goes back to the ideological mindset. It's Malthusian politics is what it is. You go back to Malthus and you start studying his idea of economics, and then you start looking into how his idea of economics is what predicated or became a part of the idea of Marxism, which is that we have to have a shared set of resources. And so in all of these economic policies, and by the way, this is why it's so disturbing that the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences is stacked with Marxist economists, it's all about Malthusianism, that you have to regulate the number of people in order to maintain the resources at hand. But even Pope Benedict XVI made it very clear in Deus Caritas Est that if we are going to look at development, we have to understand that an increase in population is what leads to an increase in prosperity, not a decrease. So that's the simple answer.
Well, I wouldn't say it was simple, but okay. Now we know what if you are part of Save the Children, they just go home and quit giving them $25 a month. But what organizations should we donate to? Who do you say, you know what, this is my 5-star blue ribbon. We need that.
Sure. So there are a few organizations that I've looked at that I think are pretty good. There's one called Mary's Meals that I just recently got exposed to that I think is fantastic. This organization, the CEO who started it, actually put a salary cap on all of the executives at £60,000. It's a British-based organization, but their CEO doesn't take more than £60,000, which I think translates now into $93,000. So they're a good one. I also recommend a group, Cross Catholic Outreach. They do a lot of good work. In fact, I met with Cor Unum back in 2012, and I told them about a lot of the problems I was finding. And Cor Unum told me, yes, we work very closely with Cross Catholic Outreach. And what's interesting is that Catholic Relief Services is constantly bad-mouthing them. Why? Because they don't take government funding. Another one that comes to mind is a group called St. Bryce Missions. Highly recommend them. St. Bryce, B-R-Y-C-E, St. Bryce Missions. I know the guy who founded it. He's a very good, very faithful man, and they make evangelization one of the key components of doing their aid and development work. It's not a requirement that people convert, but, you know, they are going to be engaging in evangelization while they are doing work to help people who are in impoverished areas.
And then the final question for you, if you could just tell us your website, because I'm assuming you have all this listed on the website, because there's a lot of information and people in the back couldn't get screen grabs of the picture. So sure. Not that there is a lot of information up there, but if you could give us your website so we can all at least, I'm assuming a lot of answers are there.
Yes. All of these organizations that I've outlined, I have identified and listed on my website. We're in the process of a revamp, so if you can't find it right away, just shoot me an email, and I'll be more than happy to send you the appropriate links. But until the website gets revamped, it's going to be a little bit difficulty finding the stuff. However, if you go to our website, 3Ws.Lepanto, that's L-E-P-A-N-T-O, institute.org. Yes.
Yeah, one more time, please.
One more time. Three W's, www.lepanto, L-E-P-A-N-T-O, institute.org.
And again, this and all the other presentations will be on the Bringing America Back to Life website, and they'll be on YouTube as well. And right now we'll say thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
What a job you have done compiling all this. Your head just goes, I'm sure it's crazy.
You have been listening to Michael Hitchborn, founder and president of the Lepanto Institute.